Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Two Post, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, coming back to you, we're going to do a James verse-by-verse study today. We've had such a busy few days out street preaching. My voice is a little hoarse, so hopefully it'll hold together. And I'm outside. We had like 30-mile-an-hour winds today. It's died down a little bit, so I'm hoping the wind holds off. But wow, what an awesome session of preaching we had. And I want to come to you and get back at James chapter 3. You can follow along at all the other verse-by-verse studies. Today we're in James chapter 3, and we're going to be doing verses 6 through 11. And again, go look at don'tperish.com, look at the verse-by-verse tab. You can see all the past verse-by-verse studies, get caught up, be edified by them. So let's get right at it. And hopefully my voice holds up. James 3, 6, verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So it is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. All right, so if you remember the context from the last study we did in James, he was talking about the tongue, meaning our words. Tongues means words. And he's talking before about fire. Well, he's talking about it again, fire. And he's warning us that the tongue, our words, are like a fire. We all know what fire does, right? Fire can be useful, but it can also damage and destroy, right? So let's look at some of these words here. Iniquity. He says it's a world of iniquity. That's sin and unrighteousness, is basically what that is. Sin and unrighteousness. And so if we ponder it, the whole concept here is that this member, a bit in a horse's mouth, controls the whole horse. This tongue, this little member of our body, can control a lot about our life. It can make it, it can break it, it can wound, it can heal. And so we have to watch out how we use our words. We're going to get to a good formula on how we should be using our words at the end of this study. He talks about defiling the whole body. All right, what did he say there? He said that defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. So, defiling the body. Well, in the Old Testament, that was making yourself unclean. And in this case, defiling is pretty close to that. And Jesus covered it. And here, since we're talking about the tongue, our words, is it really a tongue issue? That little fleshy part in our mouths, is it really a tongue issue? Or is it an issue of something much deeper that we all should ponder about ourselves? Well, let's find out. What did our Master, Messiah, Creator say? Matthew 15, 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. So Christ makes it really clear. It's those words coming out. And we know, we've talked about this before in the other James study, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does speak. You know, a lot of people think it's the other way around. A lot of people think, oh, out of the abundance of your mouth, your heart does speak. No, sometimes I make a mistake and say it that way, but that's not what it means. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth does speak. So while James is talking about this little fleshy member, the tongue, we know it's a deeper core issue, is it not? Yeah, it is. How about Proverbs 18:21? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Okay, so what's he talking about when he talks about eating the fruit thereof? Well, we can have good fruit, we can have bad fruit based on upon our tongue, right? Our words. That makes sense? Hopefully it does. He also mentioned in this verse, nature. Now, a lot of times you might think, well, animals and trees and all that, but in the context, nature here means like generations or humankind, okay? So the tongue infects the entire human race, is I think basically the point here. It's not a small problem, it's a big problem, it's huge, it affects everything, right? So we have to keep that in mind as we're dealing with our walk in Christ, what this tongue can do. And then he starts talking about setting the fires of hell. Well, our tongue, our words, ultimately, as Jesus just told us, our heart, they're set on evil, right? We have a proclivity to fall. We're not depraved or we can't do good, but oftentimes we don't choose good because of the fall of man. The Bible's clear. Adam fell and it affected the whole human race, right? I don't believe we're totally depraved, but I do believe we're affected by what Adam did. So what do we need? We're hopeless, right? We have no hope? No. We need the 2 Corinthians 5:17. We need the hope of becoming new creations by the Spirit of God. That's what it's all about. I preach it every day in the streets. You must be born from above, born again, right? That is our hope, that Christ, by His Word and Spirit, can help us overcome. So it's important as us saints, we have good control about our actions, our words, ultimately our tongue, right? I have to do that as a street preacher. I have to do it every time I go out because I get people in my face, people yelling at me, people sometimes getting physical, people saying lies about us, calling the police, threatening, all kinds of stuff. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll take my audios or my videos and I'll go back and I'll look at them, listen to them, and I'll make sure, did I say it right? Should I have said it different? Did it come out right? What would I adjust? Do I need to apologize to anybody if I said something totally wrong? That type of thing. So I'm always testing myself, testing my tongue. And I think that's the fruit. If you have a pure heart before the Lord, you definitely want to be testing your words, not just throwing out there and saying, oh, well, I've dealt with people like that. They throw words out, they operate in the flesh, and then when those words cut and hurt in an unbiblical fashion with slander and lies, they go, oh, well, it's too late, I already said it. Well, no, we got to do better than that to be representations of Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, verse 7. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. All right, so basically, this verse is taking us back to what I tell people when they say, well, what do you follow? What do you teach? What do you believe? I said, I believe in keeping the New Testament law, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, although we're resting in Christ, we don't keep Saturday Sabbath. And then I believe there's pre-Torah that we keep. And this is one of the pre-Torah things we keep. Ready? One of the pre-Torah things we keep is dominion. That's what he's talking about here. The man has overcome all the beasts. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing. I'm by a road, so if the noise gets too loud, I hope you can still hear me. And every creeping thing upon the earth. So there you go. We're to take dominion, control, power over. We don't abuse it, but we take control and we use it. And I always like to give the example, if I'm on a trail with my wife and a mountain lion attacks us and attacks my wife, I don't say, oh, such a pretty mountain lion, I sure don't want to hurt it. No, I take a stick, a knife, a gun, I club it, shoot it, kill it, and protect my wife. That's taking dominion. Then we skin it and, you know, use the skin and people would eat the meat. That's taking dominion and using what God gave us. So that's what that's talking about when he says, every beast has been tamed by man. So man can overcome, kill, and master absolutely any animal on the face of the earth. Giant elephants, big whales. Man can overcome and kill all that. But the tongue, the little member, he has not yet mastered, has he? No, he has not. So that's what James is talking about there in verse 7. Going on to verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Ouch. Brother James telling it the way it is. That word tame, demazo, it means to curb. Yeah, I heard this term a lot growing up. I grew up in a really wicked era, the 60s and 70s, and I heard it a lot from people. Hey, you ought to curb your tongue, meaning don't talk nasty, don't swear. the people who I was around talked like sailors, and I ended up growing up talking like that as well. Curbing your tongue, right? So the picture that James is painting here, it's a bleak one. He says, the tongue no man can tame, it's unruly evil. Well, if we know the rest of the Bible, if you read that one verse, you'd think you have no hope. If we read the rest of the Bible, it doesn't mean we can't overcome, learn to control our words, do better, and walk in all of God's ways. It doesn't mean that. All right? We can have control. How do I know this? Self-control. Ready? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That word sound mind, if you look at the Greek, always look at the Greek and the Hebrew. That's a great help. It means self-control. And that's really what we need when it comes to the tongue. We need to be born of God by the gospel, Christ shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection, repentance from all sin and false ways to Him. And then holiness and obedience is the fruit once we've been born again by the Spirit of God and we endure in the faith. We can learn self-control via that gospel, okay? We can definitely do that. So James isn't saying we have no hope. He's just saying you're probably never going to 100% permanently this side of heaven tame your tongue completely, because while we're told to be perfect, we're not going to get there this side of heaven, are we? No, we're not. We're trying to be mature. We're trying to be complete, but we're not going to fully get there. So we keep trying best as we can for the glory of the Lord. And then that word poison, eos, it means like poison of asps. That's in the Old Testament. It talks about it. Psalm 140 verse 3, they have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. So poison is talked about. There you go. Poison is under their lips, right? Why is it poison? Well, what does poison do? Poison is deadly. It can kill you. It can harm, do great damage, destroy, tear down. Yeah, that's what the tongue can do. And that's what he's talking about there. So that's the real point he's trying to get to, is the tongue no man can tame. We may not be able to tame it completely, but I think we can get it under self-control. Think about this. I've told the story how I used to tame Mustangs, wild horses from out west. And I will tell you this, my experience, I don't think you can ever fully tame a wild animal like that. Born in the wild, ran to survive and live. I don't think you can ever fully tame it. But you know what you can do? You can work with it and you can control it to a certain degree. And that's what our hope should be with our tongue. That make sense? I hope it does. Verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Okay, so here we have, he's talking about, we can use our tongues for praise, right? And also, we can use our tongues to curse and demean, right? And tear down. Does that make sense? That word curse, keterome, it means to doom or to speak and evoke evil upon. Right? To doom or to evoke evil upon. And so we got to be careful that we never would doom someone. That's not our place. And speaking evil upon someone generally involves lies, slander, and a ill heart. We should always have a heart that is set for redemption. Does that make sense? Yeah, I hope it does. Always should have a heart set on redemption. And that word similitude, it means in the likeness of God. So this is along the lines of what God did in Genesis 1. And when he said, let us create man in our image. So that's what that's talking about, Genesis 1. God created man in his image. And we should carry ourselves and walk accordingly to that. Psalm 10, verse 7. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Yeah, that's what can happen. That's what can be in the tongue of humans, mankind, that type of activity. And so we have to be very, very careful how we speak, how we carry ourselves, what words we use, knowing that we can curse and we can bless at the same time. Let's see, we're going on to verse number 10. And it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So it's kind of like what we always say, that this should not be so among God's people. That's what James is talking about here. And he tells us from the same mouth, we can say blessings to the Lord, and then we can speak a curse or evil upon others. Same mouth. And we got to ask, how can this be? How can this be among, especially we're talking about, the people of God? Our words, this next verse is going to cover that. Our words should always be consistent with who we claim to be in Christ, right? Because we're walking in the Spirit. We're supposed to have the power of the Holy Spirit over all of this. So our words should always be glorifying. The Bible says, do everything for the glory of God. Now, I got to bring this note in here. There is a time for gentle, kind talking. Yep, the Bible teaches that. Oftentimes. Then there is a time for rebuke and exhorting. Yep, the Bible teaches that too. And so we have to know the difference when there's a time for rebuke, when there's a time for correction, when there's a time for praise, when there's a time for edification, admonishment. Knowing the difference takes a perfect man. Not somebody that never, ever sins or makes a mistake, but a perfect man? No, a perfect man is walking in completeness and maturity, right? Remember we talked about that, we studied that? James 1:5, remember from our early James study, if you're following along, what can we ask God for? And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him, or given him. I like that. So wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Lord, right? Beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And then, by the Spirit, when we're born again, he teaches us through experience, knowledge, we gain wisdom, teaches us how to talk, what to say, what not to say. Let me give you a little story here. I see this a lot in the streets. In fact, just yesterday, street preaching at a so-called Christians Men conference, had a group of mockers come up and they wanted to stop my preaching to talk to me. And I said, I'll talk to you when I'm done with the masses of people walking by. You just wait, or you can email me. And if you're serious, I'll give you my number. We can talk anytime, but I'm here to street preach. Well, they sat and waited for a little while, but then three or four of them got there. I didn't even talk to them. And they ended up getting very angry about me. And one of them started getting in my face, and he acted actually really fleshly and kind of demonic. He was a Pentecostal guy. Then another guy's telling me, you should go witness to the homeless people. And I said, well, we do that too. And long story short, I had two men. One was really, really nasty, the Pentecostal, and getting in my face and all that. Another man had to grab him and tell him, stand down, you're getting kind of fleshly, because I don't get in people's face. I just preach. You don't like it, just walk away. I don't walk in people's space. I don't get in people's face. And then another man that said, why don't you go witness to the homeless and all that, he got rather fleshly. He, when we left, sought me out and apologized and said, I'm sorry I said that. I shouldn't have said that. So that was awesome. Now, the other guy did not apologize. He could have reached out to me. He didn't. So he was just a wicked worker, fleshly man. So we see this in the streets a lot. Men that claim Christ. He's talking about people who are supposed to claim Christ. They can't control their tongues. That's what James is talking about, right? So one didn't control it and he apologized. Yeah, you know, you got to do what you got to do. The other one couldn't control it, didn't apologize. So it's good that that man did apologize. But guess what? If he had wisdom and he controlled his tongue, he never would have looked bad in front of about 400 people that were standing there watching. That's what happened. Yep. He looked bad in front of 400 people or a couple hundred people, whatever, standing watching. So I see that all the time in the streets. So let us remember, saints, seekers, if you're listening and you're ever going to follow Christ with all your heart, control the fire. that is our tongue, which is our words. And remember, I confessed I used to love to play with fire as a kid. Fire is a tool. It can build up things. They use it for blacksmithing. They use it for all kinds of things. It can purify things. It can also tear down and burn down things. Amen? Amen. All right, last verse. Verse 11. Doth a fountain send forth the same place, sweet and bitter? It's talking about water here. So I like this analogy. I love these plain, simple analogies that we all can relate to. A spring, a well, ready? A bottle of water. When you drink from it, it generally has all the same water, doesn't it? It doesn't give out poison in one little part and good water in the other part. It's all mixed together. So that makes common sense. Well, our words are all mixed together, right? Our life is all mixed together, especially for us that are walking in Christ and want to be honorable to Him. We have to consider our words, and they're coming, as Jesus said, out of the heart the mouth speaks. So our words are coming where? From the well of our heart. Ponder that. What do your words sound like? What are you talking about? Maybe how much are you talking when you shouldn't talk? Should you say more when you should talk? That's another way to look at it. So thinking that note that our heart is a well, ponder that. What's coming out of your well? Is it bittersweet or is it all sweet? I guess it could be mixed with your words, but be careful because words tend to be like water, get all mixed together, right? Yeah. So what should happen is if we're walking in the Lord and seeking Him, there should be consistency. That's what should happen. There should be a consistency in how we talk, what words we use, and a good rule of thumb to use. I like to use this as a basic reminder to everybody that the goal is always redemption and lifting up, not tearing down. The goal is redemption, lifting up those people that we would talk to, interact with, even people we have to rebuke or correct. That's always the goal. So let's remember that. And he says you can say, Lord bless you, or he talked about, you know, doing evil. Let's see, what did he say here? He said, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing in verse 10. So what he's talking about here is, are we going to be building up with our mouth or tearing down? And again, the goal is redemption, okay? And if I were to say words like this, I hate you and I hope you rot in hell. If I was to say words like that, is what kind of word is that? Is that bittersweet? Is that mean-spirited? Is that redemption? Is that building up? Is that helping in any way? No, I don't think that is. Is that helping in any way at all? That's a fire. Words from your tongue that have no redeeming value whatsoever. No good coming from that. Okay? And I think a really good scripture verse to use for this is Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8 gives us some good meat about this particular topic. Let me read Philippians 4:8 to you. By the way, if I seem a little distracted, I am in a town, Sister Amin and I are in a town, I've never seen so many homeless, beggars, drifters, let's just say suspicious looking people, and this town is known for a lot of crime and a lot of danger. And I'm walking around this parking lot and it's like everywhere around me, and I've been witnessing to people and have tried to help people. And so a little bit of a distraction here in this town. We've been in a lot of small towns. This one's a little bit different, but anyway, we'll just keep plugging away. God opens the doors for me to witness to people and give them the hope of eternal life to come. And they sure need it, as we all do. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay? All right, so the speaking of our words, our tongue, right? I like to tell people this because as a street preacher, there's a lot of times when I've got to correct and rebuke and exhort Rebuke means to find fault so that you can make a correction. Yeah, that's what it means. And a lot of people always tell me, oh, you should just talk gentle and kind and loving all the time. No, that's not true. Jesus didn't do that all the time. Paul didn't do that all the time. John the Baptist didn't do that all the time. In fact, they didn't do it most of the times. The loving, kind, gentle, all of that was for God's people striving in the Word. When you're out in the world and you're dealing with mockers or you're dealing with suspect religious people, false teachers, there needs to be a harsher word given to them. And so there has to be times where we're gentle, we're soft, we're kind, we're long-suffering. And then there's times when we got to rebuke and exhort. So let's talk about this. I just read you that verse, Philippians 4:8. Use this. It's going to help you. But our words, ready? So you test me. I told you I go and I listen to my street preaching audios and videos. You test me, all right? Are all of my words that I use, are they always one of these things? Ready? True, honest, just, lovely, pure, good report, virtuous, and praise. You go test my preaching. Every word I say should be one of those. So if I rebuke somebody, it should be true. If I tell somebody they're in danger of hell's fire, it's honest. If I tell someone about God's word and what his righteousness is, that's just. When I tell someone, you know what, God is so good and gracious and merciful and loving, that's lovely. When I tell someone, I've come here because I care for your soul, not money or fame, that's pure. When I tell people I have to walk in a certain way so that I don't have, I'm blameless and I don't have sin and I don't have accusations against me, that's being of a good report. And then we have virtue and praise and on. So all of our words should match one of those. And that's a good test for us all to walk through as we're listening to this verse by verse on James and talking about the tongue. So if we speak that way, we can hope to have a tamer tongue. I don't ever believe it's fully tame, but I believe we can have a tamer tongue. Like that wild horse, we can gentle him, we can control him. I don't think you're ever going to tame him completely. This side of heaven, I think none of us are going to be fully perfect like Christ, but we can walk as perfect men. That means complete, mature, striving for the kingdom, not living in willful sin. So I hope those tips help you as we're studying James chapter 3, how to talk and season your tongue. I think it starts with the heart. It starts with the heart, which needs to be born again by the gospel. And then it starts with wisdom, which comes from God above. And then we make sure we're always walking, big one here, in the spirit, not in the flesh. I have to do this a lot in the streets. Wow, if I go out in the streets and I walk in the flesh, I'm in big trouble. Yeah. But I got to walk in the spirit. And when people come against me or lie or do things unjustly, I got to really control myself. Because guess what? One guy's in my face doing something, I got 50, 100, 200 people watching me. And most of all, most important to me, the Lord is watching me. And then right after that would be my wife, Sister Amin. So, and then brothers and sisters that watch our ministry and seekers. You're all important to me. So make sure we're walking in the spirit. Make sure we're born of God. Make sure we are using wisdom. So, hey, we're going to leave it right there. I hope that was edifying to you. And praise the Lord, my voice held out. We preached at a concert and then we preached twice at a men's conference to thousands and thousands of people. And the truth went out. We got to talk to some seekers and it was glorious. I love what we do out here. It's so spiritually exhausting. After that second preach after that men's conference, I felt like a train rolled over me. And you know why? Real quick, not physically so much, spiritually contending and standing against thousands of men who think they're Christians or think they're godly Christians. I don't know, some of them could be born again. And as they defend sin and worldliness and wickedness, yeah, it is not of the Father how they conduct themselves. And it gets draining. Why? Because we love God, we love them, we want better for them. And that's the whole point of why we go. So thanks for listening in. Till next time, the Lord lets me come again with another verse by verse. Check out Don't Perish, all the resources adding to it every day, including our street preaching van dwellers journal. We love you all. Till next time. Go out and have a glorious day. Repent and obey the gospel. And may God be praised.